Well, good evening, everyone. I'm dropping all my stuff here, but let me just get a hold of some things here. I am so grateful. I got some good news from the VA today, and both of the biopsies on my thyroid are benign. So I'm really grateful. Lord really has blessed me with that. We still don't know what's causing all of my throat problems, so they're just going to have to refer me to ear, nose, and throat people. So we'll just keep looking and just keep asking the Lord to help me out here. And but I'm glad to know what it's not in that particular area. So I'm really, really grateful for that. So I bless the Lord. And I'll be taking some iodine and some kelp, and hopefully that stuff will put that thing down. We'll just see what's going on here. But I am alive. Those who may have been praying for me to lose my voice, it ain't gonna happen. So, bless the Lord. My family was kind of ribbing me on that. You talk too much. That's why you got a problem. But anyways, hopefully I'll speak the things of the Lord, and that's what's going to be important to me anyway. So, but tonight's called The Higher Calling. Do you even want to hear it? And I asked Carolyn if she would play that song, I Surrender All. Some very simple questions asked there. I surrender all. Do we do that? God's not talking about, you know, just living like a pauper. He's not talking about that end of things so much. Do you give him your thoughts? Do you surrender your desires? Do you surrender your feelings? Do you just surrender your opinions? Do you give that over to him? And say, God, I don't want my lower level stuff ruling me anymore. Ruling my decisions, ruling my relationships, ruling who I am in you, what I'm supposed to do. I don't want that anymore. I'm going to give it all to you. And every time it comes up, I'm going to give it right back to you. Because all I want from you is you. Because you're perfect and holy and just and right. That's what I want coming out of me. That's what I want surrounding and swirling around in my head and in my heart. And it's a journey. And you have to constantly do that. It would be nice if you could just say, there, I surrender all and be done with it, you know, but it's not. That's like a kid being born and go, yeah, I learned the letter A, I'm done. No, I mean, it's a long, long journey in learning, and we understand that. The same thing spiritually. It's a long journey. It's a hard journey. We do not know, just because you love the Lord, just because you said, forgive me, come into my heart, we have to learn how to let him be our master, and I'm grateful for that. But I want to just kind of bring a couple of things to the front of our heads here. Way back in the, it seems like quite a while ago, there was a little bit higher moral code, not only in the world, but in the church itself, you know? And sometimes some of the older writers, the ones that came from like the 1800s, early 1900s, or the 1600s, or something like that. I mean, they were used of God to put on paper and capture the essence of some of the deeper, more holy things. And there was a fellow named Hudson Taylor, and one of the books he wrote was A Higher Calling. And he really touched on some things. I want to kind of share that with us in some scriptures tonight. And just really very powerful. But Hudson Taylor was an English missionary who served in China. He served about 51 years there before he croaked. He was constantly encouraging people to put the Lord first, and he spent his life sacrificing his comforts and his dreams to bring the word of truth to the lost. So he really put his life on the line. And even though he came from a Methodist and a Baptist background, what he did was, when he went to China, he didn't go under the auspices of those churches. He just developed, everything he did was non-denominational in his group. So you didn't have to be a Baptist or a Methodist or anything. He just opened his ministry and wanted to serve the people that were there in China. And he actually started the China Inland Mission, which I heard about years and years ago. It's called something else now, but it's called the China Inland Mission. It was involved in bringing about 800 missionaries to China, and over 100 schools were established with them, and about 18,000 had come to know the Lord in that short period of time, plus all the other ones that are never recorded or understood. And One of the things he did too was he worked tirelessly against the opium trade, which was rampant back there in China back in the 1800s. So he was one of the people that was instrumental in bringing that to light and coming against that and trying to get the people themselves out of the opium trade and off of opium. And he also was one of the few missionaries that he would wear. He adopted the Chinese clothing of the common man. Now, a lot of the missionaries that went there stayed with their Western garb or wherever they came from. It was from Europe or from the United States or something, and they went to minister to people. But he just actually adopted all of the Chinese culture and just lived with the people and ministered there. So now, my question is to us is that, and anyone listening to the audio, is that what about you? Do you have an anything goes attitude with God? And I'm not saying that you need to do this. I'm just throwing this out. This guy had a career. Would you give up a career? I mean, if God told you, would you give up a career? Would you move someplace else? Would you sell your car? How about give your car away? If God tells you to. I mean, we can say it, would we? We're going to find out. What if your health diminishes and diseases start attacking you? Would you share your home with others for not just like an overnight stay if someone dropped by, but you know, for extended periods of time? Would you work with less pay than you're used to? How about work for no pay at all? Some of our staff have done that for years. They receive no compensation from the church for all of their work that they do in service and ministry, the web work, all the years in finance that Franny gave us, all that, and just all the things that are done. Pastor Mark has not received remuneration from this church all the years that he's been pastor here. And that's been since 1994. Add it up. That's a lot of years. Would you change your dress code, your habits? Would you give up all that was familiar and comfortable to you if God called for it? I don't want anyone answering any questions or anything, just pondering this. Where are you in terms of the Lord? Now, with today's me attitude permeating our society, it's really easy to kind of accidentally sometimes pick up the world's ways and not even know it. Because it's really easy to be influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and not even realize that it's taken over and is deeply influencing our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and our emotions. Wait a minute now. How different a creature is formed when once we give our hearts over to Jesus, and we actually let him rule and reign in us. Now, I wanted to read, that's just a couple of thoughts, a few thought-provoking things. I told you a little bit about Hudson Taylor, and I want to read just a little excerpt from something that he wrote. And it really, sometimes we're struggling, and what do you want me to do, Lord? Is there anything else in ministry you want me to do? Where do you want me to work? What do you want me to do? How do I handle my family? What do you want with my job? Is there anything that you want of me, Lord, that I'm not hearing? And what he wrote is this. If God has called you to truly be like Jesus in all your spirit, he will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility. We've just had a bunch of things happen to some of us. Shirley's down. She's a little sick. She's been running. She may have an ear infection. I don't know. She's got a lot of dizziness and nausea. A lot of stuff kind of put her out of the running. Carolyn, who is our webmaster and also runs her own business in photography off of her computer just totally crashed and died. Might be 4 weeks before it's up and running, you know? Yeah, this is the new computer, you know? Oh, my gosh. Well, that's going to be really tough. So, Ted just found out, his knees he's not eligible for knee surgery until later. And, I mean, all this stuff is going on. Other people have lost their jobs. Someone else got sick. I've been battling this thyroid thing and tests and exams and all this stuff since last July. And we still don't know what's going on. You know, just sometimes this stuff can really get to it. And you go, God, what is it all about? How come? I don't know about you, but I complain sometimes. I don't do, you don't know it. I don't do it in church, but I'm home and say, God, how come? Why me? Oh, this whining and crying sometimes. And God's good, though. I mean, he doesn't turn us away. He doesn't turn it off or anything. He leads us through it. But when I was reading some of the things that Hudson Taylor wrote, he said, now, if you want to be truly like Jesus, he'll draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility. And I went, whoa, okay. Let me rewind on some of my complaints here, Lord. And it's very rich here, so just kind of listen up. Be patient here. Listen up. He will put you on such demands of obedience that you will not be allowed to follow other Christians. And that's what people are doing. They're following other Christians. Oh, if it's good for you, it's good for me. We'll find out if God's saying it. How many people have gone off into missions and died, or their families were ruined and things were destroyed because they did what they thought they were supposed to do or what they saw someone else do, and it wasn't something God was asking them to do. Very, very powerful. Listen, in numerous ways, God seems to let other good people do things which he will not let you do. Now, some of us can really relate to this. I've struggled for years. Lord, I had my career all lined up. I knew exactly what I was going to do and how much money I was going to make and my pension and my retirement. I had that all set and ready to rock and roll. But see, he made some changes. I wasn't confused. I knew it was God, and I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. But he wasn't. But, wow, I started saying, God sometimes seems to let other good people do things which he won't let you do. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with what you want to do. It's just not the root. And I tell you, I know the resistance that I put up. And I was like, God, you know I'm going to obey, but I'm going to be miserable. You know, I wish I could say, oh, sure, no problem, oh, Lord. But I didn't. I had a lot of questions. And I said, God, I'm going to do it, but this is killing me. All that. Now others, Hudson goes on to say, others who seem to be very religious and useful may push themselves. They pull wires, they scheme to carry out their plans, but you cannot. Whoa. If you attempt it, you will be met with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Ooh, yeah, that's right, Lord. He goes on and says, others can brag about themselves. I've seen this. Their successes, their writings. But the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. If you begin to do so, he will lead you into some deep mortification. I know, living proof. That will make you despise yourself and all your good works, because you're going to realize, what am I saying, Lord? Everything you, it's all you. Everything that's done and done right, it's all you. I remember one time I was complaining, oh God, how come you didn't do this for me? How come you answer my prayer after all I've done for you? Oh, I stopped dead in my tracks in that comment. I said, I can't believe I said that, Lord. He goes, yeah, I do. It's in your heart. You think you're doing all this good stuff for me. You think you're so whatever. You can't do anything for me, Lynn. I go, yeah, I know, Lord. I'm so sorry I felt that. But see, I had to know that was in me. I didn't know it was in there. I didn't know I was sitting around like a proud peacock thinking, hey, I am serving God. I didn't know any of that was in there. I thought I was humble. I wasn't proud. Only prideful people say, I'm not proud. You know, just all this stuff, years in the mill here. I came to know the Lord in 1976. Good grief. I was just a kid. I was 30 years old. And how much time on the road has gone on? How many changes have occurred in my life? When you come to know the Lord, you think you're pretty much perfect. You just go to church, read the Bible a little bit, you know? Then you come to find out, good grief. Is there, how much more, I've cried this out, how much more stuff is in me? How much more of this anger is in there? How much more of this doubt is in there? How much more of this impatience is in there? It goes on and on. The broken nature from inherited from Adam, it is a disaster. And it takes a long, rough road to have it. It's going to be in there, but the long road is making sure it doesn't rule in you. See, because you got two masters in there. You got the one you got from Adam, which is the broken one. You got the one you have from God, the Spirit of God, when you came to know him and were saved. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the one we have to practice, let rule, and the other one we have to crucify. So he goes on and he says, others will be allowed to succeed in making great sums of money, or having a legacy left to them, or in having luxuries. I remember one time, had only knew the Lord for a short time. I was when I first came here. I came to this church in 1977. My feet have been nailed here ever since. It's now 2013. Where are we? 12. I'm already into next year. I didn't look at my calendar. What year is it? Okay, it's 2012. Golly. And this, I said, oh, Lord, I was struggling. I said, God, you know, I don't have my career field. I'm struggling here financially, whatever, what am I going to do? And someone in the church here years and years ago, her a relative died and left her $70,000. And I thought, because I had just been praying, God, please give me some big bucks here. And when that happened, see, God says when someone's blessed, rejoice. Did I rejoice? No. I said, God, you gave it to the wrong one. Like God's going to make a mistake, you know. So, I mean, I didn't know all that stuff was in there. You're not going to know all that stuff is in you. I mean, I'm telling tales of myself because I don't want to stand here and tell tales on you. You know, I'm going to tell tales on me. I know some tales about some of you. I'm not going to put it on a recording. I'm going to tell tales on myself. But anyways, they can make great sums of money or have a legacy left of them or have many luxuries. But God may supply you only on a day-to-day basis. But guess what? Because he wants you to have something far better than gold. He wants you to have a helpless dependence on him and his unseen treasury. God has filled my life so much with these treasures that are so much greater than a fancier car or fancier furniture or something. My house is done out in early relative, you know? I mean, it's not, my kitchen table is from the Salvation Army store, you know? And it's all good stuff. It's all good and solid. I'm blessed. It's helped many people over the years, and it's worked really well. But there's a deeper relationship I have in the Lord in some of these sacrifices. And God doesn't call everyone to that. And I'm not saying he's going to call me or you or anything to abject poverty. I'm not saying that's not the message. The point is, where is your heart? And God is going to bring you on a journey, not so he can find out where your heart is, but so you can find out where your heart is. And then Hudson Taylor goes on, he says, the Lord may let others be honored and put forward while keeping you hidden in obscurity, because he wants to produce, listen to this, some choice, fragrant fruit for his coming glory, which can only be produced in the shade. And there are some plants that grow better in the shade. Mm-hmm. Pastor Mark can tell you that. He's worked in landscaping for years and years. He's an expert in the field. Horticulture or something or other classes he's always having to take. Oh my gosh. Others can be honored. They can have all sorts of renown, etc., etc. I can remember watching Charles Stanley one time, and he was preaching up a real good sermon, and I was sitting there complaining. And I'm going, Lord, the man doesn't ever finish a sentence. He starts out, and then he goes off on something else or whatever. And I actually sat there and said, God, I could do better than that. When that came out my mouth, I'm thinking, whoa, you are so full of yourself, Linda. Thank you, God, for bringing me on this road to find out you. Who do you think, whose message is, another time, somebody was preaching, and I said, they stole my message. I had done this research and stuff here, there. I'm preaching this precious little church, and they're on national television with exactly the same stuff you gave me, God. I said, he stole my message. Do you know what the Lord said to me? He didn't say, shut up, you're stupid. He said, whose message is it? You see, it's not my brains coming to an understanding. Whenever I understand something in the deeper spiritual realm, it has not been my intellect that got it. It's been God's Spirit poured forth on me to understand it so that I can teach it, because he called me to teach. So it's not me figuring it out. Hey, look, I figured that out. I know what he really means. No. Anything I get that convicts a heart, that comes forth by his Spirit, has come forth by his Spirit. So this guy Hudson Taylor is really hitting some stuff. Maybe this whole thing tonight is just for me. I don't know. I'm hoping it's for others too, to really look at your own life. God may let others be great, but keep you small. Obviously, I'm not starving, so he's not talking about small of stature. He will let others work for him and get the credit. Like I said, he stole my stuff. Whose stuff? He'll let others work and get the credit, but he will make you work and toil without knowing how much you're doing. And then, to make your work still more precious, he will let others get the credit for the work which you've done. This isn't a mean God here. This is to teach you the message of the cross. Humility and something of value of being cloaked with his nature. If anyone was deserving of having a retort, it was Jesus. He was on the cross in that suffering, coming from the glory of heaven. That in itself, I can't even imagine. It's sort of like being a human, maybe, and going down into dog poo or something. I can't even think of a comparison that would give us an understanding of how great God Jesus had it, and he came to the earth. And remember the example I gave you before about the guy that said about the fishbowl, how he was learning, I think it was Philip Yancey, he was learning about the greatness of God. When he went to the fishbowl, he said, here, I feed the fish, I clean them, I do everything for these stupid fish. You'd think when I come near them, they'd run over it and want to do something to be near me. But every time I would go to the fish tank, they would scoot away because I'm too big. I'm too great for them. You know, just overpowering. And he came to his mind, the only way I could relate to these fish is if I became a fish and then were among them. They wouldn't be frightened of someone like them. So you see, God did us a favor by coming as Jesus Christ. He did us a favor because if he showed up on the earth how he is, we'd all had diarrhea and fallen dead of heart attacks. We couldn't have loved him. We couldn't have served him. We couldn't have sat on his lap and enjoyed fellowship with him. He's too great and magnificent. So he sent a baby. No one's going to be scared of a baby. And then he grew up. Jesus was allowed to grow up and suffer everything that we've suffered. So when God calls us into this stuff, sometimes God's going to call. He called, Paul was shipwrecked and beaten, and he was doing all good things. I mean, he wasn't even a stupid anymore. He was in jail. All these bad things happened to Paul. Paul was doing good things, and all bad things happened to him. He was obeying God, and bad things happened to him. Here's Solomon. He ended up in a palace with all sorts of servants. He had money and food and nice clothes and never had a shipwreck. And yet each one serves a purpose with God and his plan. So, of course, what do we, the human nature says, I volunteer for the Solomon duty. We all volunteer for the, you know, for money. We all volunteer for riches. We volunteer for all those things that we think are going to be comfortable. But how much greater it is to identify with Jesus Christ, who himself came and suffered on the cross. They said, if you are the Son of God, come down off that cross. Talk about humbling. And if any of us were there, we'd go, watch this. We'd have zapped everyone for 300 miles. They'd all been dead. The earth had opened up and swallowed everyone right there. But he didn't, because he had to come. He had to obey God. There had to be a restoration made back to God. Man had to be restored back to God because it was lost by what Adam did. So, so powerful. And then in this the message of the cross, the humility, the value of being just surrounded by the nature of God. And what was the nature of Jesus? It says, he was being demeaned. Who do you think you are? You think you're the Son of God? They were beating him and whipping him, doing all sorts of stuff. And what did it? And they accused him. Accused him of being of the devil. Accused him of being so wrong. Excuse me, he's going to go to hell. And it says in the scriptures, he opened not his mouth. Good grief. I mean, something doesn't get messed up with my AT&T bill and I'm on the phone going, what the heck is going on here? I'm trying to fix this out. It's the second time. You keep sending me an email. I want it in the regular mail. I mean, not that I'm angry with them, but I'm like aggravated, you know, and I'm praying it doesn't come out my mouth, you know. Here Jesus went through all that and says he opened not his mouth. Who do we have some reflecting to do? The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you. So here we're saying, God, I want to be like you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Well, you got to expect some changes here. You got to expect some restrictions. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you and with a jealous love rebuke you for careless words and feelings. Here people are thinking I'm doing a great job. I'm not killing anybody or robbing a bank. God's talking about careless words and feelings. Oh, yes, Lord. sharpen it up, sharpen this sword. Yes, God, I submit to you, even though this is hurting me, even though I don't like to know this about me. Everything you expose about me through my circumstances, through whatever you're doing in my life, I am going to welcome it because I want that junk identified. I don't want to walk around thinking that I'm holy when I'm nothing but an empty tomb, a sepulcher, they said, a whitewashed sepulcher, dead bones inside, but all white and clean on the outside. I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. And I can't get it for you. I can only get it for me. But let us not be surprised when we come to the Lord. We ask him to forgive us of our sins. We want to end up in the kingdom. We want to have health. We want to have wealth. We're asking him for all this stuff. What the heck do we ever give him in return? I mean, we can't even shut off a stupid thought. Oh, God, help me. If I want the nature of Jesus, I'm going to have to give up the nature of Linda. And that is tough. He may rebuke you for wasting your time, which other Christians never seem distressed over. Did you ever wonder that? So, God, I don't want to be thinking that. And other Christians are out there, I don't care. They're still Christians. So make up your mind is what God is saying. That you have to make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign. He's sovereign. That means he's whole and complete. If he's sovereign over you, and he has the right to do as he pleases with his own. Okay. If that one's going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and this one's going to be sick and whatever, then that's going to be your business, Lord. And the things, and you have to understand, God may not explain to you 1,000 things that might puzzle you, and you don't understand. There is no rule. There's nothing in the world that says he has to tell you, but he does want to comfort you. So very often he will speak to you. He does want us to love him, so he doesn't want a barrier of fear and wrath and all this stuff. God knows that he is the best thing that ever happened to us, but what we do is we restrict him. We end up making foolish decisions. We have all sorts of things that go wrong. It's because we put our hand to it and not God. Then he goes on and he says, God will take you at your word. If you absolutely sell yourself to be his slave, he will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do many things that you cannot. Settle it forever. You are going to deal directly with the Holy Spirit. That he is going to have the privilege of tying your tongue or chaining your hands or closing your eyes in ways which others are not dealt with. Just leave it alone. And that is a very powerful thing, that God is going to have other things. I often think of that woman, Johnny Erickson Tada, who's completely paralyzed from the neck down. She's in her 50s now, or 60s. She was 15 years old and in a diving accident, and she was paralyzed from the neck down. That's it. The rest of her life, someone had to bathe her and clean her and take care of eliminations, every single thing. She could do nothing for herself. And when she was 15, she said she spent a couple of years really angry with God. Why didn't I just die? What in the world can I possibly do? I am so angry with you, God. There can't be a God. Oh, she was going on and on. And then God was able, in the horror of that thing, to use her. And God didn't sit down and tell her when she was 10, listen, at age 15, a horrible physical thing is going to come upon you because I'm going to use that. Her being totally paralyzed and in a wheelchair draws a lot of people, sometimes just by curiosity. That woman is a singer and sings for the glory of God. She found out she had some artistic talents. She's put a pen in her mouth. She puts a brush in her mouth. She makes these oil paintings that look like an artist who did it with his hand. She started this project. She speaks all over. She gives seminars. She's invited all over the place. She is affecting hundreds of thousands of people for the Lord that she wouldn't have if she was just standing an upright woman who would pay attention to her. Why should she possibly be invited to come to you and speak to you and minister to you? There's no identifying something different. God put an identifying something different on her because he knew eventually, because he knew her heart, that she would come out of that funk of being angry with him and that he would be able to flow through her. She even started something with the wheelchairs that they do internationally for people who can't afford wheelchairs. She gets old. She's made a deal with the prison. Some of the prisoners refurbish old wheelchairs and then they bring them overseas. I tell you, it's so powerful. So, you know, God knows what he's doing. What looks like really hard, some baby's death. Oh, how can God let that happen? In terms of God, nothing happens without his authority. Nothing happens unless it's filtered through him. So don't think it's all chaos and willy-nilly. Oh, you mean God let Hitler? God let Hitler only for so long. And then he was gone. He let Saddam Hussein reign only for so long, and then he's gone. Bad things are going to happen, and good things are going to happen. Right in the scripture it says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And it's not willy-nilly with God. Because he's in powerful control, you can know even if the worst thing that happens to you, even if you're paralyzed from the neck down, God, if I'm going to live for you, you use this for your glory. And you watch how full your life would be. You will not be angry. You will not be lonely. You will not be left aside. You will be able to take the shattered things in your life, and God will turn them around if you let him. Even the most horrible things, I don't care whether they're addictions, I don't care what kind of relationships, I don't care if your house burned down, whatever it is, in looking to the Lord, he is going to be able to use that twofold. One, to get something in you or out of you, and then to do the same thing to someone else. So no matter why me, to say, God, I just don't want the world, the flesh, and the devil in here, because that old devil likes to pick and poke around and cause things too. So don't go blaming God for something the devil might be doing, but don't be devil-oriented. But just be prayerful and say, God, I want everything of your spirit to come through. Yes, I want all of what I'm hearing this guy Hudson Taylor say, yeah, but I don't want that old devil picking and poking around in there, because that's going to cause an awful lot of confusion. Keep my mind clear. Give me discernment of the spirits. And then he says, lastly, however, know this secret of the kingdom. After all this, you talk about sacrifice and the cross and the crucifixion of your flesh and all this kind of stuff. Know this secret of the kingdom. When you are so completely possessed with the living God that you are, in your secret heart, pleased and delighted over this peculiar, personal, private, jealous guardianship and management of the Holy Spirit over your life. In other words, when you are totally given over to the Lord and say, God, I know this is hard on me, but I trust you to know what you're doing. I welcome the things you bring my way as long as it's you. But I want you to expose me for who I am. I want to get this stuff out of me. I want to have an unhindered flow of your spirit through me. When you do that, you will have found the vestibule of heaven, the high calling of God. Wow. Are we there yet? No. But are we on the way? Yes. And we are committed not only to the Lord, but to helping each other to get up and to get going. So when Carolyn's computer goes crazy over there, and she's able to sit here, and she's not sitting there, God, you gave me the computer, now it's, what are you doing? Are you teasing me? She didn't go through all that kind of stuff. She kind of took it on the chin there. She was a little anxious about what it, but you know, I got some texts from her, because she can't get on her email. You know, she gave me some texts. She said, well, you know, it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks. I'll figure out what's going on. I said, oh, we got a sermon tonight. Are we going to get the audio, you know, the TIH and all this stuff? So all this stuff, she goes, well, we'll deal with it when we can. I go back to my computer. I'm working on finishing up the sermon for tonight. My entire screen goes black. Did I take it like Carolyn did? Just, you know, I called and I go, my computer's black. What do I do? What do I press? What have I done? I don't know what to do. I haven't finished the sermon up. I can't even run off the copies of what I've already done. It's lost. It's gone. She goes, just a minute. She goes, unplug it. Wait a minute. And then plug it back in. So it worked. So, you know, see, all of us we're at different places, you know. She didn't panic, I panicked. You know, some days she's going to panic, I won't panic. I don't know, whatever. But we're here committed to helping each other. When you fall down, get up. When you need help, call. I'm struggling with this thought. I'm struggling with this situation. Pray for me. Is there anything God chose you to do for me? Now, in Galatians 2:20, you don't need to turn to that. I've got it to read to you. It says, this kind of clarifies it. I don't want to just quote Hudson Taylor to you. I mean, I know it was led by God's Spirit, but I want to show you what's in the scriptures too. Galatians 2:20. I have been, please may I say this, Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was a little song we used to sing here all the time. Franny, would you lead us in that? I love this song. I don't have the voice for it.
Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
I totally forgot when I just sang that. It's recorded. I apologize if I'm not listening.
Preach, Linda, don't sing.
I feel like Mitt Romney when he sang that stupid song. Don't sing, pal. You see that in the news? What are you doing singing? Don't sing. He sang that song, America, or something. And I thought, oh, no, don't do that. But wow, right there. I mean, that's what was being said to the people. Wow. I've been crucified with Christ, and it goes through that whole thing there. But, you know, because he loved me, and he gave himself for me, could I at least give myself back to him? Now, he doesn't need my trash, but he says, just come to me, because I'm going to take that trash and make it into treasure. I'm going to get rid of all the stuff that's not of me. You just stay with me on the journey. I figure I'd have to be about roughly 4,000 years old to get through most of this stuff, but it's all right. God knows. The day I draw my last breath or the Lord returns, whichever comes first, I will not be dealing with all the brokenness of the Adam nature anymore. I will only have the completeness of oneness with God, with a new body, and eventually we are going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Glory be to God. We're just not there yet, so don't get frustrated. Try and fight that back and stay in the game, because God has a wonderful plan. And in terms of that scripture, that reminded me of this guy Hudson Taylor, because he had trouble. All the good work he was doing, he struggled with the finances flowing into his Chinese missions over there. People even laughed at him and said, your work is not necessary. You don't need to be doing all that. You don't need to be wearing them Chinese clothes. You don't need to be staying with the people. People were laughing at him for it. And some of the poor conditions, he was in the inland parts of China. In the coastlands, there was a little bit more going on because they had a lot of trade and stuff that was going on. But in the more inland portions, they didn't have access to health, the sanitary conditions. There weren't the roads and just an awful lot of stuff. He ended up with a lot of chronic health problems, and he just gave it all up. He understood that God was calling. Now this is the difference. Now I don't get me wrong. I'm not holding up Hudson Taylor as our example here. Our example will always be Jesus. But I can really understand Paul when he was writing to the early Christians when he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So all these things, God's not saying, you know, don't be crazy now. It God told him. That's the only question. God didn't tell me to go to China. God didn't tell you to go to China. There's some people I know, they felt to go to China. And they had three kids, and they moved from here, and they had a wonderful experience over there in China. And they ministered to many people, and they did wonderful missionary work over there. And one of their sons used to be in our little school. He ended up staying over there, and he went to the international school over there in China. He is fluent in Chinese. I mean, he's dealing with the Chinese. So a lot of good things have come, but God told him, I'm not moving. I'm not moving to China. I'm not moving to Jamaica. I'm not moving to Haiti. I'm not going to New York. I'm not going into Harlem. I'm not going to go down and walk up and down a street sign at Nebraska or Southdale maybe and tell all the prostitutes to come to Jesus. I'm not going to do that. But if he tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. So this is the point that's being made. When God is in your life and he brings you to something, are you willing to go all the way with him in whatever that he asks? And that's what this guy Hudson Taylor was doing. He really took Romans 5, 3-5 to task when it says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation, and this is the reason for it in our lives, tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint. Hope not meaning wishing. I hope. The hope that God talks about in the scripture means happy expectation of good. Even though it's bad, because of you, I can have a happy expectation of good. This thing with the biopsies. I say, God, this can be troubling. I'm not going to let the adversary give me some vain imaginations. But because of you, it's going to be good. If I don't have it, then I don't need to go through all the gyration. If I do have cancer, then I'm going to need to have an operation and get it on. But either way, it's going to work out good. It really is absolutely amazing. And to know that inside gave me some of the peace I wouldn't have had ordinarily. It didn't mean I didn't think on it. It didn't mean worry didn't try and come. But because of the Spirit of God within me, I was able to face it and to say, God, you are in charge. If you're going to do something with it, then you do it. But I'm going to wait on you. My vote is that this is clean and clear and I'm going on. But if you want to do something with it being more serious, then please, I'm there with you. But I need it to be you, only if it's you. So, and it says, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And James, first chapter, 2-4. We know this one. We have said this how many times? Consider it all joy, my brethren. Joy, when you encounter various trials. I didn't have joy in my heart. But I talked to Carol and she had some joy in her heart. It kind of squeezed over to me. You know, hello. Don't beat yourself up if you don't meet the measure. Just say, God, I'm sorry, I recognize it, help me, and then you go on. So that's what. So consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, knowing, you got to know it here and here. You can't have it here till at least you bump into it here, but if it only stays here, that's it. If someone can convince you up here, they can unconvince you over there. It's got to be in you, part of your spirit, the Spirit of God in there. But knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's what this is all about. When God says to give up, he's not going to leave you there hanging. It means he wants you to give up because he has something else he wants you to do or be or have. So you can count on that. Now, in listening to all this, has anyone had an increase in their ouch factor lately? Yeah, I read this and it's all, ooh, ouch, ouch, ouch. This is pretty hard stuff to give up so much. But what do you get in return? Did you really hear what I just read? I mean, I had to reread it. I had to ask myself the same question. That's why I put it down to ask you. Did you really hear what I said? In giving it all up to him, in giving that type of submission and obedience to him, it says that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Because when you're dead and he's alive, you're perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You won't be lacking in knowledge. You won't be lacking in courage. You won't be lacking in forgiveness. You won't be lacking in humility. You won't be lacking in anything. Now, that sounds like a pretty good deal. You give me your life, I'm going to give you my life. Oh, thank you, Lord, because your life is so much better than this junk here. Now, there's another little pesky scripture, though, that we have to look at before we finish up. That's Luke 9:23. And it says, if anyone desires to come after me, this is the condition. Let him deny himself. Okay, that's bad enough. Can we put a period there, Lord? No. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And what was the cross? It was a burden. It's whatever you have to bear. It was sore. It was hard. But Jesus didn't spend his whole life doing that. There were times when he was young, I'm sure he was laughing and swimming in the lakes and doing whatever people would be doing. I'm sure he laughed with the apostles. Everything wasn't suffering and blood coming down his face. It wasn't, but that was a period of time. That was what he had to do. And God is saying, listen, I'm giving you the word picture. I went through hardship. I went through suffering. I went through lack. I went through mocking and scoffing. I gave up everything, but it didn't stay there. I ended up in heaven. I ended up with glory. All of the pain is gone. All of the shame is gone. I am full and complete in him. And he even walked on the earth for a little while. Remember that? He didn't go just directly up to heaven. He enjoyed that completeness and that wholeness and that new body. And he had a new body because he was walking down the road and some of his disciples walked with him. And they were talking about this great Jesus. You know, he must have been kind of smiling a little bit going, yeah. They didn't recognize him. It was him. So he had a new body. We're going to have a new body. But once he started speaking, what did they say happened? Weren't our hearts burning within? They recognized him for who he is. See, God says, we're going to be known for who we are. But you're going to have a new body, so I'm going to go and say, where's Ellen? I don't recognize her. You know, where's Brian? I don't recognize him. It's going to be a new body. The minute someone opens their mouth, you're going to know who they are. Ah, now we know. How is that going to happen? Not with his brain. Only with a completeness in the Lord. So now, I don't want to leave it just like that. That doesn't mean we can't go see a movie or go out to dinner or go on vacation. No, no. Don't go all berserk on me here and get all cultish or something stupid. Revel in your family. This isn't a vibrant life. This is an exciting life. It's just that it has many travails. Without Jesus, you're either going to make it or you're not going to make it, but you're still going to be in hell. Now, with Jesus, you're going to get through these things. It doesn't mean you won't have trials. It doesn't mean your past won't kind of dog you, but it does mean in him you're going to have a new life here as well as there. You will be able to get through it differently. So go out and have some hard work. Have some fun hobbies and things. Some of us in here have fun hobbies. You know, what's your fun hobby? Franny is probably making your coleslaw. It's probably work. Franny's fun hobby is going to be work. Mark's fun hobby is going to be work. You know, I can tell some of you already, you know. I have some fun hobbies. Running is a fun hobby. Hiking is a fun hobby. Biking is a fun hobby. I like that. Those are more art little. They're not hobbies. I guess that they're activities. I don't know what they are. Whatever. What'd you say, Carolyn? Work. No, that's all good. But anyway, so it doesn't mean you can't do that. Even a little certificate of appreciation or a fellowship dinner to honor some accomplishment or something, those things are all spiritually healthy when it's done in the Lord. He never said you had to be some stick in the mud running around with no life. I mean, some people, who would want to be a Christian? Oh, I can't do this, and I can't go here, and I can't go. I don't spend my life in church, and neither do you. I spend my life out there. Are you bringing the life of Christ out there in everything you do? And I'm not talking about preaching. Is your life the Bible people are reading? I mean, come on. He says, go live that life. I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. I came to set you free. So this isn't a bondage existence, but there's a cost. You give him your life, he's going to give you a better life. So all he's saying, all God's saying is to pursue him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and all that is within you. Paul talks about pressing on toward the goal of the prize. And what's the prize? Money? What's the prize that Paul was talking about? The upward call of God. You're going to see things differently. You're going to be able to do things differently and be differently. When our viewpoint changes, boy, I tell you, some of that hatred, animosity, distrust, that stuff goes away. It doesn't mean that the other person has become holy. It just means that in most cases, you've become holy because you've died to yourself. So they might continue doing what they're doing, but it's not going to affect you like it did. And if they do, if somebody's beating you, God's going to give you wisdom. Well, let's just get out of the situation. If someone's ripping you off money, God doesn't say you have to stay there and take it. You're going to get wisdom with all this too. You'll be able to make some better decisions in terms of that. Fellowship and enjoyment in God is the prize, and that should supersede all that we do. I was going to read something from Oswald, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give a little main point summary because we don't have time this evening. But the main point that was another writing that was from My Utmost from His Highest by Oswald Chambers. The main point is that God is worth all the struggle that we go through. But some are so caught up in the physical realm and the pursuit of success and recognition of them that they cannot meet the measure that God calls for. So these are signals, signs. Don't get caught up in that. We must be humble, contrite, and eager in serving him. The intimacy and deliciousness of your relationship with God will eventually trump everything else. And I have little journals all over the place, in my prayer chair and in the other room and wherever. And I came across this little, I said, oh yeah, that's right. It was in one of my little things beside my chair that I try and do my devotions in the morning. And it was something that I wrote back in the February 2nd in 2011. And I just want to read that with you. I had been reading in Psalm 1, and I've been doing some, spending some time kind of sitting in the presence of the Lord. While sitting quietly, I saw me and Jesus sitting in front of a fireplace. And he was leaning on his knees, meaning, you know, he was sitting, and he was, you know, his hands, his elbows were leaning on his knees, looking at the floor saying, well, how's it going? And he was talking to me. I smiled, because I knew it wasn't because he didn't know how I was doing. He just wanted me to tell him. He asked me that. I mean, this just happened. It was a cherished moment in fellowship with God. It was so real. It was like he was right there. And he wanted me to tell him. He wanted me to talk to him. That's all he wanted. He wanted me to talk to him. That's how much he loves me. He just wanted me to talk to him. So how's the day going? And as I started to tell him, I saw that he just looked at me with such a tender, sly grin. He knew that I knew what he was doing, that he just asked me because he wanted to talk with me. And I was he was delighted to hear me recount my day. In that moment in time, I felt so cherished and so valuable. There's not one book I could write that could make me feel like that. There is not one person to talk to. There's not one thing I could do. There's not one marathon I could run. There's nothing that's in my life that can top that sacred moment with Jesus Christ. And because I tasted it, I want more. This is not some rule-abiding thing I live in. This is not a scared human afraid of a wrathful God. I am a woman who has come in contact with the living God because he chose to love me even when I didn't love him. And when I finally came to that realization at age 30, I went before him and said, God, I am so sorry. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and save me. And from that moment on, he has been giving me these delicious moments, but they're not every day. There's sometimes it's so far and few between. I say, God, are you even there? Is this all my imagination? And it never is, because he always comes around at the right time. I cannot tell you how it just was so, and when I had forgotten this. I didn't remember that I wrote this, but when I read it, I remembered the power of that moment. This is the God we serve. All he wants is fellowship, but nothing unholy can be in his presence. Our sin keeps us away from this preciousness. And it's better than anything. There's no goal, there's no position in life, there's no accolades that can give you what I felt in his presence. This is what God wants. He wants us to have more of that kind of peace, more of that kind of intimacy than all the confusion of the world. And yet, you're in the world, but you're not of it, is what he said. I can set a banquet table for you in the midst of your enemies. Just come to me. The impossible I can do. You don't think you can get relief from your fear or from your addictions. You don't think you get relief from your relational problems. You don't think you get relief from your neighbor or whatever's going on in your life. You don't think you can get relief from your anxiety and some people were taking Xanax and they're dying all left and right trying to find some peace. Man, I tell you, the 2nd of February last year, and I've had other opportunities since then, but this one I wrote down. Wow. And what it did was whet my appetite. I want more of that kind of time with you. And what happens? I tell you, that old devil, he'll be glad to accommodate having everything go haywire, having everything go wrong, and having me caught up. I'm a detail person, and I got to work this out. I can't go to bed till it's done. All the stuff that didn't work, I got to get that. This happened, and this happens all the time. I put a list out. God doesn't even go by it. It's my calendar, Lord. And yet every day I pray, God, lead me. Now, there's things you have to put. You've got to be certain places and whatever. But you got to be flexible. Flow in the Spirit of God. This thing that I related to you is what God wants with his people. And you can have all of it that you want. So don't let the hectic things of the day. God's even said, unplug for a while. God's even telling us, do half of what you've been doing in the day or something. I'm not telling you not to work. I'm just saying there's a lot of things that we're doing and we're coming and we're going and we're under this stress and we got to go to the bank and we got to make the meals and we got a time frame and I got to get this car ready and this guy's coming over and I got to get that and I got to do this and oh my gosh, I got to go. I got to put my things and I got to get my pictures and I got to edit my pictures. This person wants to buy this and Ted has to make the arrangements. Got to go to the gun class and Mark has, oh, I got this account and I got all this stuff that my kids call and someone has a flat tire. I mean, it goes on. And on. No. You have to listen to the tape. It goes on and on and on.
How does she do that?
I don't know. It goes on and on and on every day. We are being beat down with all these details. We're being beat down with over information. We're being beat down with responsibilities that never were 200 years ago. Go get some wood. Cut it up. You got a fire. Now we got to put in an AC unit, you got to save up for it, then you got to maintain it, then you got to make enough money for it, then you got to pay for the electric. I mean, what happened all the time for the time saving? I mean, you used to take 6 hours down at the river to do your laundry. Now it takes you 40 minutes to wash it and that many more to dry it. It's done. How come I can't get it done? How come it waits all the time? How come I have two basketfuls in my room today that need to be folded? They're clean, they're dry, but they haven't been folded yet. Well, if these are all time-saving, I got a microwave. It doesn't take me 2.5 hours in the oven now. It's 40 seconds in the microwave. Well, what happened to that time? I didn't get it back. No, because the world is going to fill it up. That's why, in the flow of the spirit, you're going to be able to walk through all that. All those voices calling for you. You got to be here. You got to go there. You got to do this. You're going to be able to walk just like Jesus did. You know that there were people that were poor, and he had to walk by them because God didn't say stop. There were people that were arguing and divorcing and fighting, babies with boils on them. They didn't have hospitals like we do today. People who were sick usually were just set out on the road in the street. You'd walk by them, they had a little cup or something, they wanted you to help them, give them a penny or something. Their diseases and their death were evident on them, and Jesus walked right by. I mean, his brains would have been fried. But he didn't. He had a peace and a calm about him. He said, God's going to take care of it all. If a little baby has all these problems and the baby dies, God knows what to do with that little baby. Mm-hmm. You know, so we just look at it. We overtake God. Oh, God, I have more compassion than you. No, you don't. Let God have his way and enter into. So all this stuff that we talked about in the higher calling and all the sacrifice, it's all so we can have those sweet moments ever on the increase with Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you all.